Good morning, everyone. It is a blessing to be here this morning. It's been a blessing to me already to just be here and worship the Lord, and the song service and everything has been a real blessing and encouragement already this morning. This morning, I would just like to share a few thoughts on trusting God and about trusting in the plan that God has for our lives, that we can learn to allow God to just work in our lives according to the plan that He has for us, and to trust in that and be able to rest in that. And it's just something that God has been teaching me recently, I think. And I thought I would share a few thoughts on that. For an opening, a few verses here. I have a few verses out of Job, chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. It says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him." And that was kind of my heart there, that we can learn to trust in God regardless of what. And as Job says here, that even if God would kill me, I would still trust in him. It's not, Job was facing some tremendous difficulties in his life, and his friends were there challenging his faith and questioning him about his faith in God, and that was Job's reply to that. And that was kind of my heart, that we can learn to trust regardless of what. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And that's probably a pretty familiar verse to most of us. But I would like just for us to stop and consider a little bit what it really means to trust in the Lord with all our hearts, and what that is going to look like in our lives, and how we can apply this. And I would like to turn to Numbers chapter 13 and look at the account there of the 12 spies that Moses sent out to look at, to explore in the land of Canaan. And I would like to read verses 1-4, and then I want to jump over, just skip some there, and over to verse 26. It says, "Then the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names of the tribe of..." Okay, I'm not sure that... I don't think I was going to read verse 4 there. I was going to jump to verse 26 there. "And they went and came to Moses..." So they went, and then they came back to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and shewed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." They had things there to prove what they had found there. And then they said, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we served, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And then on over into chapter 14, it continues. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And whereof hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now, we don't need to go back very far in the scriptures to see the miraculous deliverance of God for these same people out of Egypt, and he delivered them from Pharaoh there by the Red Sea. He opened up the waters and they were able to pass through. And even more recently, he had miraculously given them manna from heaven to eat. And just there's just miracles all the way through this story. And then they came to the place where they heard these stories about these giants, and it was just looked seemingly impossible for them to go and take the land that they had been promised. And all of a sudden, it seems like they forgot what God had done for them, and they, instead of trusting in God, they got discouragement and fear settle in on them, we might think that it's going a little far to go to the point they did and want to go all the way back to Egypt, where they had just right back where they had come from. But if we stop and think about it, and we can see this maybe some in our own lives, if we look back over our lives, and there's times probably where God has done similar things for most of us. I don't know what all God has done for you, but I know there's been times when God has done amazing things in my life and opened up waters for me to pass through, and I mean, not literally, but so to speak. And then we go on through life and we face something like this, and we forget. We allow fear and discouragement to settle in, and instead of just trusting in God and realizing that we still serve the same God. You know, God does not change. And I think that's what we need to remember when we get to a situation like this, is that we serve the same God that we always served, and he's not going to change. And the things he did for us back whenever, he can still do things like that for us, even in the current situations we may be facing. I think we want to realize that God has a plan for each of our lives, and he's not going to change that plan regardless of what we do. We can't do things to change God's mind about the plan he has for our lives. Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has a perfect plan for each of our lives, and we can trust that He will never give us more than we can handle with His help and power. I did a little bit of research. I looked up what trust means, and I don't know that it's that significant what trust means, but it was kind of interesting. It says a firm belief in the character, strength, or truth of someone or something. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know that it's that important what it means, but if you stop and think about what it says there, that it's a firm belief in the character, strength, or truth of someone or something. And I had to think that maybe that is why it's hard for us to trust in God, because God is a spirit and He's not someone or something. And that's what we like to, we tend to like to trust in someone or something that we can see. And we do live in a world where there's a tremendous amount of trust put on earthly things. And I just thought of a few things that people put trust in. And one of them is insurance. I don't know. We obviously probably have, most of us, I'm sure, have insurance on our vehicles, if what's required and whatever. But people put a tremendous amount of trust in some of those things. And I did a little bit of research. And in 2020, the top 50 insurance companies averaged $3.2 billion in profit. That was average of the top 50. There was some that, I think the top one was actually more like 80-some billion. And I just had to wonder why. Why would people pay, I mean, I know it wasn't one person, but why would people pay that much for something, like, why would people overpay for something that they're never going to get all their money back out of? Obviously, these people are making a lot of money because people are willing to pay in order to be secure. And there's another one that goes kind of right along with that is in financial security, that people are, it's a pretty big thing in our world to have a good retirement plan and plenty of money in the bank to cover anything that might come up. And those things are big things in the world we live in. And it's just, it's things that people can put their, it's physical things that it's someone or something that people can put their trust in. And another thing that I thought of was how people, I don't know that everyone does, but there's a lot of people in our country that put a lot of trust in the government and in our army. And they feel safe because we have one of the most powerful armies in the world, and they trust that if anyone attacks us, then they wouldn't have any chance. We would fight right back, and we'd conquer them real easily. And there's some people that feel safe because they have guns on them. There's some people that feel safe with a gun close by because they feel like it's something that they can depend on if they ever need to use it. And another thing I thought of was phones. There's people that, maybe this one applies a little more to us here. I'm not saying that it's wrong, but there's people that feel, most people probably feel safer when they have their phone on them, because if something would happen, there would be immediate access to contact someone. I did a little bit of research on that too, and there was a survey done on, I'm not sure how many people, but out of the 1,199 that responded, 92% of them said they felt safer with their phones. So we're not abnormal if we are that way. And I'm not trying to say that these things are wrong. All of these things. There's some, obviously, that we wouldn't want to trust in or do, or I guess we wouldn't want to trust in any of them, but there's some of them that we would, like having a gun, we wouldn't want to do that. The point that I want to make is that it's really easy for us to fall into this thing of putting our trust in wrong things. And we need to just realize that God is in control no matter what we have in place. We can have the best insurance coverage there is, and if it's God's plan for us to have to pay out, then it will not benefit us. I know of a situation right now, or that happened just recently, of a person that had full coverage on his vehicle, and there was a wreck that totaled the car, and because of the way things were, his insurance didn't pay anything of it. And so I'm just using that as an example that we can't mess with God's plan by having earthly things in place. And it's the same way with some of the other things that we talked about. If it's God's plan for something to happen to us, just simply having a phone by our side or a gun or something like that, it won't change God's mind. And I just had to think that maybe we trust too much in some of these things. Maybe they aren't as trustworthy as we think they are, but that God can always be trusted, that He does not change and He cares for us in a way that none of these earthly things ever can or will. In Matthew 10:29-31, it says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father?" But I'm not sure if that's complete there. I think it says actually without your Father knowing about it or something like that. But then he goes on to say, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." And we heard here this last Friday night about God's marvelous creation and what a little part of it that we actually are. I think that He had showed us some of the bigger planets, and then He showed us the earth, and finally the earth disappeared, and He didn't even show us how we would look in the earth. That would have been pretty much invisible from the start. And yet, that God cares, He cares more about us than any of these things, any of the greater things of the universe. God cares more about us than any of those things. I would like to go to Isaiah 43 and read verses 1-7 there. It says, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall a flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." If I look at these scriptures and compare them with some of the other things that we talked about, some of the earthly securities, and it just becomes exceedingly, it seems like it's exceedingly foolish to put our trust in things like this, if we have a God like this that we can trust in. If we have a God that is saying, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine." And then he goes on saying how he will care for us. And he says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall a flame kindle upon thee." And then on further down, he goes on to say that thou was precious in my sight. And he says, "Fear not, for I am with thee." We truly serve a God that is safe to trust in all circumstances. I don't think there's ever a time when it's not safe to trust in God. And we don't have, I don't think there's any need for fear. There's no need to set up earthly securities if we are willing to put our trust in Him. I'm sure that probably all of us will face times in our lives when God allows things that we don't understand. But I would like for us to remember that God does not change, and to just come to the point where we can continue to trust in Him whatever comes. And I hope that as we look at this and consider it in our lives, that we can come to the place where we can say from our heart, as Job said there in the beginning, we read those verses, that though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. That we can be completely committed to trusting God in that way. I think that's all I have.